Okay, well, I want to turn you then to that chapter that we read, 1 Samuel, and chapter 30, and verse 6, the end of verse 6. 1 Samuel, and chapter 30, and the end of verse 6. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So we're continuing this morning with this theme of thinking about how, as Christians, we're to respond to trials, respond to crisis such as the one we're facing at the moment, with all the change, with all the uncertainty that there is in our lives. We've been thinking about how we're to respond, what we're to remember, what we're to do, how we're to be as God's people. So we began 2 weeks ago, Psalm 46, which reminds us that even in the most devastating of circumstances, even when the most sure things are moving, we are not to fear, but rather we're to be still and know that the Lord is God. And then last week we looked at Mark chapter 4, that wonderful story of Jesus calming the storm. And that reminded us that we need to remember that the Lord is sovereign over the storms, and he is with us in the storms, and he has his purposes in the storms, and ultimately will bring us through the storms. And now this morning, I want us to think about this statement from the life of David. I was reminded of it by someone at the beginning of the week, and it's really stuck with me during this week, and I felt it would be a helpful statement for us to think about this morning and then to take with us as we continue for who knows how long through this crisis, and indeed, of course, its words for the rest of our lives. What do you do in difficult times? What do you turn to? Where do you go for your strength and for your encouragement? We're discovering, aren't we, that so many of the things that people look to for their help and their strength, trust in, are unpredictable and unreliable. Well, in his time of crisis, in his trouble, when his life was turned upside down, David turned to the Lord and found his help and strength and encouragement in the Lord. And I want to encourage you then to do the same. And I want us to think for a little bit about what that involves. So let me just set these words in their wider context, and then under our first point, we'll think about the immediate context. So when we come to the life of David, we are around about 1000 BC. At this point in his life, where we are in, when we come to chapter 30, David has been told that he's going to be king, but he isn't yet king. In fact, at this time, David is living in Philistine territory. He's gone there in order to flee from King Saul, who, of course, is trying to kill him. But it's ended up getting David into a pretty tricky, well, very tricky situation. Because Achish, who's one of the Philistine kings, has decided that David and his men would be useful allies as they go up to attack Israel. Now, Achish can't really be blamed for that, because as David and his men have been living in Philistine territory, they've been going out on raids. And they've been saying that those raids are in Israel, that they've been going out and raiding Israel, whereas in fact they've been raiding the Amalekites. But so Achish, you know, doesn't think it's going to be any problem for David and his men to come and fight against Israel with them. After all, that's where they've been going and attacking. And so suddenly, David and his men find themselves marching with the armies of the Philistines to do battle with the people of Israel, his own people. And yet, in the providence of God, David is taken out of that tricky situation, actually by the Philistines themselves, because when Achish turns up with David and his men, the other Philistine lords are not at all happy. They remember Goliath. They don't trust David at all, and so he's sent away with his men. And so, having marched the 60 miles that it would have been from Ziklag to Aphek, David and his men start the 60 miles back, no doubt feeling relieved that they've got out of that tricky situation. They haven't had to go into battle with the Philistines against their own people, but that relief is turned to despair with what they find when they get back. And that despair could easily have broken David had he not done what we find him doing then in verse 6, which is strengthening himself in the Lord his God. So we've got two headings this morning. Don't forget we started half an hour late, so don't think I've been preaching that long. Two headings this morning: the reasons David needed to strengthen himself in God, the Lord his God, and then the way David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So first of all, the reasons David needed to strengthen himself in the Lord his God. Three reasons I've got: because circumstances are unpredictable, because people are unpredictable, and because he himself was unpredictable. So let's think about that. First of all, David needed to strengthen himself in the Lord his God because circumstances are unpredictable. So the opening two verses, look at the opening two verses. They inform us that while the Philistines are away planning to attack Israel, the Amalekites make the most of it and come and do a bit of raiding in Philistine territory. And one of the places that they raid is Ziklag, which is where David and his 600 men have been living. They plunder the place, they burn it to the ground, and they take away all the women and children, probably to use or abuse or sell as slaves. And so you can imagine it. Try and imagine it. David and his men, they're relieved, they're heading back, they've walked 60 miles, they're now walking 60 miles back, they're looking forward to getting home, and as they approach home, perhaps in the distance they see smoke rising from the area of Ziklag. What's that? You can imagine them breaking into a run, running home, and then discovering to their horror, the place is burned down, there's no one there. Imagine how they would feel. Well, actually, we don't have to imagine, in a sense, because we're told in look at verse 4. It says, "Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep." Here are grown men, fighting men, and yet they weep until they've got no more strength to weep. Their lives have been turned upside down. The ones they love have been taken away. They don't know what's happened to them. I mean, they hadn't imagined it for a moment on the way back. They've been looking forward to getting home, imagining a warm welcome, a good meal, and everything's gone. And that's a reminder, isn't it? Circumstances are unpredictable. We didn't have a clue 2 months ago, did we, of what was ahead of us in our lives. We wouldn't have imagined that we wouldn't be able to meet in our church, that we would be locked down in our homes, that we would be in the midst of this crisis. None of us would have anticipated that, and we're being reminded circumstances are unpredictable. Things can be shaken. Things that we thought were certain are shaking, aren't they? And don't forget that David is the Lord's anointed, isn't he? I mean, he's the one who's, God has said, "You're going to be king." God's promises and purposes are bound up in this man, David, and yet here he is, weeping on the ground. David needed to strengthen himself in the Lord his God because circumstances are unpredictable, but then also because people are unpredictable. That was certainly true for these men who were with David. He's got this whole group of men with him and their families. So they've joined together. They've joined themselves to David. They've gone through a lot together. They've done a lot together. But in this moment of grief, they all turn on David. They're on the point of stoning David, we're told. I mean, grief can often turn to anger, can't it? And some disaster comes and we're often looking for someone to blame. I mean, we're seeing that a little bit, really, aren't we, in this present crisis? You know, who can we blame? Blame is being put on various people for not doing the right thing or setting the right priorities. Or, you know, I mean, who knows whether those things are true, but who would want to be in charge? Well, that's what happens here, isn't it? Verse 6 tells us, what happens with David's men when they've got no more strength left to weep? They begin to talk, they begin to grumble. And who do you grumble at? The person at the top, the person at the front. And these men begin to talk about David. Why hadn't he refused to go with Achish? And you can imagine it. And they want to take their anger out on someone. And so here are these men who should have been rallying around David, and they're thinking about stoning him. So David discovers at this point, doesn't he, that he can't turn to men for his help. He can't find strength there. He's not going to find encouragement from them. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a great blessing in friendship, isn't there? And the Bible speaks about that. We're put together in churches, aren't we, to help each other and encourage each other. And we do that and we can strengthen each other. But the trouble is we are unpredictable, aren't we? I mean, we can encourage, but we can also discourage. We can be kind, but we can also be cruel. We are unpredictable. We all fail. We've been let down. We've let other people down. We're sinners. We fall short. We can't always be there. We don't have all the answers, which is why the Bible says, don't put your trust in princes or in a son of man in whom there is no help. So people are unpredictable. Circumstances are unpredictable. People are unpredictable. And David himself was unpredictable. David is having to learn, actually, at this point, that he can't trust in himself, and that his own wisdom and his own strength soon failed. This comes at quite a barren time, really, in the life of David. David, of course, was a man after God's own heart. He's the man who wrote so many psalms with this passion for God and desire for God. He's trusted God amazingly in the past. And yet, as I mentioned to the children, back in chapter 27, verse 1, David's convinced himself that Saul's going to kill him in spite of God's promises. And the only thing to do was to take himself away, take things into his own hands, if you like, and head for Philistine territory. Instead of finding his strength in the Lord, he trusted in his own wisdom. It's amazing how unpredictable our faith can be. I mean, if we're honest, how unpredictable our trust in the Lord is. And he's been trusting in his own strength and his own wisdom, and it's all come crashing down. But all these things, one on top of another, they've taken their toll on him, haven't they? They brought him to an end of himself. He's a strong man, he's a young man, but he's broken man. He's verse 6, he's greatly distressed. He's unpredictable. He's ultimately weak, tossed about by the changing circumstances. So all those things are still true, aren't they? I mean, they're true 3,000 years later. Circumstances are unpredictable. People are unpredictable. We're unpredictable. And so we too need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God. So there's the first thing, the reasons that David needed to strengthen himself in the Lord his God. But then secondly, the way David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. How did he do it? What did it involve? What did it mean? Sounds great, doesn't it? But what does that actually mean? Well, I want to give you four things that it involved. Again, I'm sure there are more, but four things that it involved that come out of the text and out of the passage. First of all, it involved trusting afresh in the Lord his God. Trusting afresh in the Lord his God. Why do I say that? Well, the Hebrew phrase here, translated strengthened himself, carries the root meaning of grabbing hold of something in order to keep yourself up. Have you ever gone ice skating? I wouldn't recommend it, actually, but you know, if you have, you know, you get that moment, don't you, where you begin to fall over and your feet are thrashing around and you're just looking for something or someone to grab hold of to keep you up. Someone who looks like they might stay up. Well, that's the sort of root meaning here. Steadying himself by grasping hold of someone else. And that's what David's doing with the Lord. David's going down, if you like. Everything's shaking, and so he grabs hold of the one thing, or the one person who's standing firm, who's sure and stable, and it's the Lord. And that's what it means to trust in the Lord, isn't it? To cling to him, to hold on to him, to put your weight on him, if you like, and let him hold you up. And I don't think it's unfair to say that it took this crisis to get David to do that again. You know, as I've said already, he's tried for a while to stand in his own strength, and it's failed. And as everything then starts to shake, he grabs hold of the Lord again. So I've said before in these last couple of weeks that sometimes it does take a crisis, doesn't it? something that shakes us, to make us really cling to the Lord again, really trust him again, to discover actually we weren't quite trusting him as much as we thought we were. The danger of the good times, the danger of the easy days, is that we can become careless, and we cling to the things God gives us rather than to God himself. And sometimes the Lord does shake those things to remind us, to get us to cling to him and trust in him again. And really, the Christian life is about just coming afresh to the Lord, isn't it? Day after day, trusting him again, clinging to him again. Now, if you're watching on and you're not a Christian, the truth is that all the things you trust in, all the things you cling to, all the things you use to hold you up are unpredictable and uncertain. And they can't help you with your biggest issue and with your deepest longing. You see, the Bible says your biggest issue is your sin. That you are made a moral, accountable being by the living God, and yet you've not lived as he's called you to. There's been selfishness and pride, as there has been in my life, and you've wanted to be God of your own life rather than let God be God's. And that's what sin is, and it separated you from God and put you in a collision course with God's. And that's your greatest need, to be forgiven and to be reconciled to God and only Jesus Christ, and going to him and clinging to him can deal with that and sort that. It involves trusting afresh in the Lord. Do you need to do that this morning? Do you need to do that for the first time this morning? It involves trusting in the Lord. The way that David strengthened himself also involved knowing the Lord, his God. The fact is that in this moment of trouble, David knew who to turn to and knew the one who he turned to. It says here, doesn't it? The Lord, his God. This involved coming to a God whom he knew, whom he could call my God, who he had been reconciled too. I mean, this is the wonderful thing about the God of the Bible. He's a personal God. He's not just a force, not just out there in the distance somewhere, but he's a God who is real and personal, who we can know and walk with and have a relationship with. And that was the heart of David's life, really. That's why I began the service actually with Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My flesh longs for you. My soul thirsts for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. He goes after God. He says, your loving kindness is better than life. So for David, this would involve clinging to a God whom he knew. It involved knowing the Lord his God, coming to him again. And really, I want you to understand, if you're not a Christian, that's what it is to be a Christian. It's not about being religious. It's not about keeping certain rules. It's about a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's about coming back to the God who made us. And it's the cross that makes that possible. So on Good Friday, we'll be thinking about Jesus dying in our place. And that was the whole issue, wasn't it? Here is how God brings us back to himself, so that we can say, my God, or my Savior, my Lord, my King, my friend. Do you know that? Can you call God your God today? What a joy it is to have one to come to. One who we've been reconciled to, that we know, and who knows us. I mean, that's also implied, isn't it, in those words, the Lord, his God. Not only did he know God, God knew him. The circumstances he was in, the things behind him, the things before him. What a blessing it is. So strengthening himself in the Lord his God involve? It involved trusting afresh in the Lord, knowing the Lord his God, remembering the Lord his God. That's the third thing. We get an idea of what's involved in strengthening yourself in God. If you just go back to chapter 23, you're still with me? Go back to chapter 23 and verse 16. That was the occasion when David's dear friend Jonathan, Saul's son, comes and finds David. He's still at that stage hiding in Israel. Jonathan comes and finds him. And there in chapter 23, verse 16, it says, look at it. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. That's the same word as in our text. And you see in the following verse, if you look on to verse 17, that he does that by reminding David of God's purposes for him and promises to him that he's going to be king, that God said that. He encouraged him in God. It's been said he put his hand, David's hand, in God's hand. He encouraged his hand, strengthened his hand in God. Actually, the word can be strengthened, can be translated encouraged. Some versions translate it that way. And perhaps a good way of thinking about it is that, of putting it, is this, that David strengthened himself by encouraging himself in the Lord his God. So remember it. So just reminding himself of who his God was and what his God had done. I mean, even that name, Lord his God, just brings up so many truths, doesn't it? That he's the I Am, he's the unchanging God. He's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Moses, the all-sufficient God, the covenant-keeping God. And so David, he's talking to himself, as I said to you children. He's reminding himself. He's going back to his God and reminding himself of the promises of God. That's what he's doing. And that's what we need to do. Remember what our God is like, what our God said, what he's promised, what he's done for us in the past, what he's promised us for the future. What a difference it would have made, wouldn't it, if chapter 27 had begun not with David saying, Saul's going to kill me, but if chapter 27 began, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And what a difference it will make then in our trials if we speak to ourselves in this way. We remind ourselves, our God's on the throne. He's in control. He's our God. We can trust him. Then one last thing, very briefly, that it included what waiting, how he waited on the Lord. How he strengthened himself in the Lord his God, by waiting on the Lord his God. Because this verse reminds me, anyway, of Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So I'm sure that was included in David strengthening himself in the Lord his God, by waiting on him, going to him, praying to him, saying, Lord, here I am. I'm weak. I don't know what to do. Everything's upside down. And I need you. I need your help. I need your grace. I need your strength. That's what David does here. He waits on the Lord. He looks to the Lord, trusting in the Lord, knowing the Lord, remembering the Lord, waiting on the Lord. All those things are what's involved in strengthening himself in the Lord his God. And that's what you and I need to do. In all days, but especially in difficult days. And we see in the next two verses then how in the light of that, then David looks to the Lord for guidance, knows the Lord's help. And then actually, their families are recovered, aren't they, in the goodness of God. I haven't gone on to the rest of the story. But what I do want to note with you, I mean, we read the rest of the story. It's got a happy ending. But what I do want to note as we finish is that David strengthening himself, encouraging himself in the Lord his God, happens in the middle, before the happy ending. It doesn't say, well, you know, they got everybody back and then David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. No, it's in the thick of it. When he doesn't know what the outcome's going to be, when he doesn't know whether his wives are dead or alive, what's going to happen? It's even then that he strengthens himself and encourages himself in the Lord his God. And, you know, we don't know what's ahead, but we do know the one who does. And we can look to him and trust in him and encourage ourselves in him today. Is this God your God? What a blessing it is, if he is. What a great thing to be able to do in the midst of all that's unpredictable in our lives, to come again and strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God. Well, I wanted to bring that to you this morning to encourage you in that way. It's not easy days. Here's where to go. Here's what to do to strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God.